For more information on Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please visit our website.
Thanks for this different seating arrangement. I had a different talk in mind about doing a talk about the service, but I was like, you know what? It's Memorial Day. I wonder how many people are actually going to come. And so I changed it up a little bit. Hopefully, you'll enjoy it tonight. Yes. And then I will introduce myself. I'm Matt Vogel. I'm the Eno here, which means I'm sort of the head of I take care of the meditation hall. And actually, maybe we could just go around and say our names too. So.
Victor.
Lisa.
Ben.
Michael.
Douglas.
Chris.
Asian.
Thank you. Welcome. And thanks for coming out on a very stormy afternoon, evening, although it cleared off and lots of rain. Another reason I wanted to try this out was because, and I wouldn't want to do this every time, but sometimes people have a hard time sharing in a bigger circle like this, and I thought maybe a smaller circle people could share. So I might actually ask you to turn and talk with someone next to you. I'm a teacher, so we do that kind of stuff all the time, just to have more voices. I listen to a lot of Dharma talks online, and there's a lot of people always say, like, we are creating this talk together kind of a thing, and it sounds very grand, and it's like, well, maybe we can actually tonight, kind of like, it's not just about me, my ideas, but all of yours too. And actually, I'm one of the people who, even though I'm giving a talk right now like this to share in a big group, I have always had a hard time with that. So I thought, you know, we could try this out tonight. So the first thing, I'm going to be reading from this book tonight. It's just high literature. It's called The Bad Seed. So just take a look at that. Okay. So your first task to talk with maybe a group of three or two is, so what are your first reaction to this? Or, you know, why would I be choosing a book called The Bad Seed to give as a talk at Ancient Dragon Zen Gate? So go ahead and talk to you. So introduce yourself maybe. Or...
So he wrote the title himself?
Okay. Let's put it right there.
Think about the seeds in our storehouse consciousness. Ooh. That are, yes. Mm-hmm. Perfuming.
Yeah. So we have karmic formations maybe, yeah, okay. Any other impressions or ideas? Michael?
Okay. Is it a crayon?
It's a crayon. I think he wrote The Bad Seed up there too, Chris. I'm not sure, but... Michael, any...
I just made me think of the sunflower seeds because of the stress.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to hedge with false perception as well.
Ooh, maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About watering the seeds. Uh-huh. Positive seeds, kind of good seeds, and bad seeds.
I guess we're on the right track, actually. Well, I mean, maybe you'll even come up with better things than I have, but I also...
Yeah.
Yeah, Asian asked if it was like The Bad Seed, the movie from the 50s, right?
Yeah.
It's like, that might be a different talk, but yeah. I just like the look on his face, too. I don't know, it just seems like... I teach second graders, so I've seen this look a lot, you know. All right, I'll read. And before I read, actually, I wanted to read this. What prompted me to also use this book is last time I had a talk, I used this these phrases from the Fukan Sazengi. So Dogen, our 13th century founder in Japan, he wrote this as like kind of a manual for practicing zazen, for practicing meditation. I'm just going to read one paragraph. It's just like this long, but I'm going to read one paragraph. So, therefore, put aside the intellectual practice of investigating words and chasing phrases and learn to take the backward step that turns the light and shines it inward. Body and mind of themselves will drop away and your original face will manifest. If you want to attain suchness, practice suchness immediately. For practicing Zen, a quiet room is suitable. Eat and drink moderately. Put aside all involvements and suspend all affairs. Do not think good or bad. Do not judge true or false. Give up the operations of mind, intellect, and consciousness. Stop measuring with thoughts, ideas, and views. Have no designs on becoming a Buddha. How could that be limited to sitting or lying down? So I wanted to focus again on these. I've been really working with these phrases. Do not think good or bad. Do not judge true or false. And then take the backward step that turns the light and shines it inward. It's kind of like in the chant that we just had of Song of the Grass Hut, where he says, turn around the light to shine within and then just return. So that's kind of my... So I read this book to my class after I gave that talk. I was like, oh, wow, this is good work. So here we go. So I'm a bad seed. A bad seed. Oh yeah, it's true. The other seeds, they look at me and they say, that seed is so bad. When they think I'm not listening, they mumble, there goes a bad seed. Good. I like his. Doesn't care. But I can hear them. I have good hearing for a seed. How bad am I? You really want to know? I like the pistachios here too, like terrified. And then I think these, I don't know what seeds these are, but they're all seeds. And here's a cashew over here. Terrified.
Yeah, those might be legumes.
Oh, some kind of, yeah.
Maybe pumpkin seeds.
There's coconuts.
Yeah, I could do
it. Oh, that's what, I bet you that's what it is, pepitas, yeah. Well, I never put things back where they belong. So there's a little shopping cart there in this one. I'm late to everything. There's his boss, the acorn, pointing at the clock. I tell long jokes with no punchlines. That's something that a second grader does for sure. I never wash my hands or my feet. I lie about pointless stuff. I cut in line every time. I stare at everybody. I glare at everybody. He's making a baby cry right there, by the way. I finish everybody's sentences and I never listen. And I do lots of other bad things too. You know why? Because I'm a bad seed. A bad seed. I don't know if somebody's playing a drum kit in the middle of the library. It's kind of inconsiderate. So, I thought maybe we could stop and think, like, have you noticed any bad seed behavior out in the world today? Yes, Asian, yeah.
The other day, we were at Home Depot, and we watched a woman backing her SUV out of the parking spot, trying to avoid her own shopping cart that she didn't put away one row over. Literally, she parked in the thing next to the shopping cart, Carol. She didn't put her cart in there. And she did like a 16-point turn out of the parking space to try to not scrape her own car on her cart. And we thought to ourselves, there goes a bad seed.
Anyone else? Factor, you have what I can tell.
No, my thought is that his seed sounds very Catholic to me.
Why?
Because of all the self-labeling and focusing on the negative side of things.
Mm-hmm.
We're all bad seeds.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of waiting for the reversal of fortune.
Yeah, yeah.
This character.
Is it clear?
Foreshadowing.
Michael, anything you want to?
I don't know. Not particularly.
Yeah. I noticed it because I bike to work on my bike. Or bike to work commute. And there's a lot of people who aren't paying attention to bikes on the lane. And, like, it's not every day, you know, or anything like that, but there's some people who get really close or do, like, that turn right in front. And, I mean, I think some of it isn't they're not intentionally doing that. Maybe they are. I don't know. But, like, it's, like, very, it's thoughtless, I think, you know, or, like, they're just not paying attention. I also was wondering if this is another way, kind of like what you were thinking with the storehouse consciousness, like, what are some of the bad seeds inside of us? This is all, like, the bad seed stuff that he's doing to other people, but, like, what are the bad seeds? I'm going to put quotes because I also said don't judge good or bad earlier, right? And so, what are some of those seeds that are, that? Well, there's definitely some seeds that I consider bad in myself. Maybe I'll share one. I've been noticing some that I like to indulge in revenge fantasies. Not poisoning someone or like pushing someone off a ledge or something like that, but just like, someone said something the day before, and I'd be like, oh, I should have said that back to them. And when I see them again, I'm going to say that. And it's very, actually, on the one hand, it's very pleasurable. Like, you know, like, it's like this story I'm inventing. But, yeah, and so that's one thing. And then, or it could even be something that happened 20 years ago. And I'm like, this person, like, it's often when I'm riding my bike for some reason, I'll be like, yeah, that person said that to me. I should have said this, and next time I'm going to do this next time. It's like, that person probably doesn't even remember that. And on the flip side, I also remember things that where I've wronged someone, maybe even slightly, but I'll hold on to that as well. And, like, really, like, feel really guilty and remorseful, you know, very remorseful for, like, this little thing that this person probably may not even notice or don't even care about anymore or even remember. So, I'm just been watching some of these as I've been thinking about this talk, thinking about what are some of these seeds that are rising in my body. I think it also has to do with, I think these things actually sort of manifest or bloom inside of my body, I notice. For example, those revenge things, like, it comes, like, right up here and sort of, like, has this, like, really tingly energy right here. And so I've been trying to, like, I said, take that backward step and just, like, watching that energy, letting go of that storyline a little bit, or watching the storylines come out. And what are those coming out? I don't know if anyone else wants to share anything. You don't have to. It might be more personal, but...
No, I can relate to what you're saying, that I'm also a bike commuter, and I find that, you know, somebody does something to cut me off or threaten my existence, and sometimes my first thought is, oh, there they go again. People just don't see bikes, they don't even think about it, they don't care, you know, they're trying to get us off the road, and that's all those karmic seeds of mine, where we don't know why somebody did what they did or not in the moment, but there we go with the negative messages that get stirred up.
It's remarkable how quickly these stories pile up on each other. You've created an entire life story for me in space in a second or so. To justify. And I see it taking time in this moment. I deal a lot recently, but I've been, I guess, sort of introspection related, but with expectations. Myself and sort of these narratives that create that are sort of this, like, crushing perfection of them. I think in and of itself is a sort of problematic seed that blossoms and so forth, manifests in any sort of activity through the day, that it's somehow I have this impossible expectation that, you know, I can never live up to. Like, it's somewhat like making coffee or tea or vanity. clothing and stuff. It's like, and trying to work with that as well. Why did that come up? Why do I have expectations? What is this idea of perfection that I have that I then lambast myself over and create this like really negative cycle? So that's been something that I've been doing for years. Where does it necessarily come from?
Same affliction. So it's a different story. I just can't help it being a bad seed. Sure, I wasn't always this bad. I was born a humble seed on a simple sunflower in an unremarkable field. I had a big family, seeds everywhere. We found ways of having fun. We were close. Yeah. Yeah, there's like a guy playing a guitar, a person painting, tambourines. Yeah, there's one. And as you were thinking, and you, like, I kind of, when I read this part, I thought about the store consciousness. And I'm not like a huge, I'm not hugely knowledgeable about this, but my understanding is that, you know, one school of Buddhism, there's something called the store consciousness, where there are all these seeds of our karma, right? I guess the best way to say it is karma. So that could be actions that we've done in the past that are, and these seeds, let me back up, these seeds ripen when certain conditions are present, just like a seed in the ground. So it could be, you know, like some seeds can lay there dormant for years until the right conditions come along. Like sometimes a forest fire will cause some seeds to blossom, or here, you know, like when there's enough rain, then it will blossom or grow and germinate. And it's so like these seeds are in part of our consciousness, and so it's maybe things that we, our karma that we've done, are some of the actions we performed in the past, or it could be even from our parents, our nation, our ancestors, like our world, so like our species. There's lots of these seeds just sort of laying there waiting to ripen. Did I get that pretty close? Or okay. And I guess in one school, or maybe in this school, it's also like some of these seeds are positive and some of them are negative. And as Thich Nhat Hanh says, you know, you can try to water the positive seeds, not water the negative ones. I'm not that good yet, so at that yet. So for me, it's just really just watching the seeds that are arising right now in this moment. And I think that's what turning around the light to shine within is, and maybe the simple beauty of Zazen is, it's like you're sitting there, and in this moment, what seeds are arising right there? What seeds are coming up? Could be boredom or anger or pain or whatever it is, whatever's arising right then, that's what's arising. And I think the other thing about turning that light around to shine within is it's a way that we can watch those and take care of those without reacting to them. If there are storylines that come up, like you were saying, being able to watch those storylines and then go away, like, and then keep going and coming back to where they're arising in our bodies, where they're kind of like blossoming. That's the way I experience it anyway. But I also think that these seeds can arise in others as well. We can see those, and I think that's the other great thing that I have learned from Zazen, is just being able to still take that backward step in daily life. And like when that person fears off, and like to feel that anger inside, because for me that's when anger mostly rises up, is when I'm protecting myself or protecting someone else. That's like, and I don't think that's a bad thing. I think probably that's a very good evolutionary trait. Like if someone's threatening you, you have that energy, but like being able to feel that energy come through and then not react in that way or not respond in that way as much as possible. So I don't know. I don't know if I see these as necessarily negative seeds either, because when they arise, they're just there. We don't judge good or bad, right or wrong. They just come up, and as much as possible, try to just be with that energy at that moment in our bodies. So I kind of think of it like this big family. there's maybe some positive, negative, you know, but maybe not all bad seeds. Well, we'll find out. But then the petals dropped, and our flower drooped. It's kind of a blur. I remember a bag. Everything went dark, and then now I gave it away. A giant. I don't know if I'll ever eat sunflower seeds again, but I thought it was a goner. I thought it was done for. I screamed and hollered. But I was spit out at the last possible second. I flew through the air, then I landed under the bleachers with a big thud. When I woke up, it was dark outside. A wad of gum had softened my fall. I felt okay, but something had changed in me. I became a different seed. I'd become a bad seed. It's kind of cracked up there now. You see the. So what are you thinking right now about this bad seed?
I'm thinking about the fellowship. Number one offender.
That what is? That what?
Yeah.
Say it again. Mike.
Yeah. Toss that.
Oh. Another bad seed, spit that out thoughtlessly, right? No, I mean, the person who introduced this book to me is our school psychologist, and she uses this to talk with kids about trauma. It's like a kid-friendly way of talking about trauma, or one use of this book, because a lot of kids come to school with a lot of different needs and have faced some trauma in their life. So, keep reading. So he become a bad seed. That's right. I stopped smiling. I kept to myself. I drifted. I was friend to nobody and bad to everybody. I was lost on purpose. I lived inside a soda can. I didn't care, and it suited me. As you can see. Before I go on, another thing that I was thinking about as I was reading this book, and it's actually appropriate for today, is the story from the Lotus Sutra about the Dharma rain. Have you heard the Dharma rain and the plants? So it's actually a really short story, it's a really short parable, and the story is that there's this huge cloud that comes and fills this huge amount of space and just rains down on all the plants. And it goes into all of the crevices of all of the mountains. It goes everywhere. And the smallest plants get rain. The medium plants get the rain. The tallest plants get the rain. All of the roots come. And all plants are nourished. This is one way of talking about how the cloud is thought of as the Buddha. And the rain as the Dharma. And so no matter who you are or what kind of being you are, all beings are equal. They're all, even though every grass is different from an oak tree, or you know, a cactus is much different from like a plant in the tropics. All plants get the water that they need from this rain, and they're all different, and they're all unique, but they're all still able to be nourished by this teaching. It's another way. It's another kind of meaning from this story. It's like to see, being able to see, like, well, if all this rain is falling down, everyone's nourished by this, then all beings are really have Buddha nature. They're all Buddha. And so we can respect all beings as being Buddha. So Jean Reeves, who is one of Taigen's friends and recently passed away, wrote a book called The Stories from the Lotus Sutra. So if you're ever, it's a really good book, actually. It takes all the stories and sort of gives a commentary on it. And he says, the Buddha is not some sort of all-powerful God ruling the universe. The Buddha is embodied, made real, in the Buddha deeds of ordinary living beings. The Buddha invites us to be partners with him in transforming this world into a pure Buddha land, where there is a kind of harmony of beauty enabling living beings to flourish together in many different healthy ways, all equally depending on the Dharma and on one another. He goes on to talk about in this, about how when he says Dharma, he's not just saying like, this is just a Buddhist thing, but this is something universal that all beings can take part in, that can experience. So when we say Dharma, it's not just not necessarily just Buddhism. It's like anything that is helping us to respond to others kindly, or to live in loving kindness, that kind of thing. So in other words, to follow the Buddha way, the Dharma, is to be nourished by the Dharma, but it's also to nourish others, many kinds of others. In still other words, to follow the Buddha way of transforming living beings and purifying Buddha lands is to become a Buddha oneself, at least in small but very important ways. So, thinking about this whole bad seed behavior, I sometimes wonder if those people that I think are bad seeds in my life are really teaching me something. Is it a way for me to work with whatever anger or resentment, or not looking at them as human beings? Because I think a lot of times, when I tend to, like, there's one of my colleagues who, whenever I walk with my kids down in the hall, she gives me this look like, your kids again, they're the noisy ones. And they're, sometimes they are. Not always. But then I start to, again, form all these stories, and I'm like, oh man, yeah, I'm going to tell her, I'm going to like do this to her. You know, like some kind of revenge fantasy maybe. And then I'm able to stop myself and think, well, I'm really like dehumanizing her in a way with all these, in a very small way, you know. But instead of seeing like, well, maybe actually her class is kind of difficult this year, and so maybe she's just like, I don't know what to do right now. Maybe she's not even looking at my class. And even if she is, maybe, you know, what she needs is just a kind of smile too. So I don't know. So we want to find out what happens to the seed. Probably right now. So he's been living in this can. Doesn't care. He's lost on purpose. And then until recently, I've made a big decision. I've decided I don't want to be a bad seed anymore. I'm ready to be happy. It's hard to be good when you're so used to being bad, but I'm trying. I'm taking it one day at a time. Now, one thing that doesn't have in here is like, what prompted him to make this decision? You're laughing. What do you think?
That's what I thought.
I'm a little disappointed. I wanted to know, was there like, what was the come to Jesus moment for? Yeah. So what kind of, I mean.
Maybe that's up to each person.
Maybe. One thing I liked about this picture here is, you know, he's kind of looking at himself in a mirror. I've been listening to some guided meditations about loving kindness meditations, and often what they have you do is sort of picture yourself in front of yourself and send loving kindness to yourself. And I was like, that's kind of what... Or he's taking a backward step there to kind of really look at himself, whatever, what's arising right now in this moment. So I really like this picture. And I like that he's says it's hard to be good when you're so used to being bad. I mean, that's true. Like, my patterns are there. Even if I'm aware of them, they're still like, those seeds are constantly coming up and taking it one day at a time, you know? Anyone else have any thoughts? Or?
It just reminds me of the story in which Buddha meets Mala, the mass murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on and on about, and, well, you know, he runs into the Buddha without walking, who knows what he's supposed to be, because there's this murderer about. And the murderer runs up and is like, why won't you stop? And he says, well, I have stopped, it's you. Things. You know, he's, and Bhikkhumala's talking about, you know, no one in this world loves me, so why should I love anyone else? You know, like, I'm so bad, I'm such a bad seed, he says in a way. Speaks in a very compassionate way about, I don't remember exactly, you know, this act of great compassion and kindness turns around this mass murderer who had lost complete faith in himself and his ability to be able.
He was definitely a bad seed. But here's another thing I like about this book. So it says, sure, I still forget to listen, and I still show up late, and I still talk during movies, and I do all kinds of other bad stuff. So I like that. I also say thank you, and I say please, and I smile, and I hold doors open for people. Not always, but sometimes. I kind of liked that he still does bad stuff. Because it's not like, all of a sudden, I am this model citizen. It's like, I think it's a really realistic, I mean, for me anyway, a real realistic look at. It's, I mean, somewhat, obviously for children, but it's like very, like, real about how things, we change, I think. And I also thought it's also kind of a good way of talking about, like, what we call bodhisattva activity. Is that, you know, like, we want to be happy, we want to help others, but we're not necessarily quite these enlightened beings yet or anything, but we're still able to respond in ways. And we can also, like I was talking about with loving kindness, we can also give ourselves a break too. We're trying. I think that saying, don't judge, don't think good or bad, don't judge right or wrong, that's kind of the essence of loving kindness, of metta. At a very deep, like, it's easy to say that, but like, one of my, like, just like Chris, like, there's some very deep, for me, patterns of not feeling like I'm good enough, and really just like they're I work on them, or like I want to get everything perfect because I want to control it because I don't want something to happen, bad to happen. So like being able to say don't judge right or wrong and allow some of these feelings to come up, or allow anger to come up, or allow guilt, or like. A lot of my life I spent trying to, like, push that down. And so, like, just allowing that to not judge good or bad, don't judge good or bad, just, like, let that come up. That's, I think that's what loving kindness is all about. And I think being able to say, like, well, sometimes, like, I'm this, but then other times I sometimes do this. That's very, it's kind of the heart of what we're, of loving kindness. Finish. Or any thoughts on that? I have still things here to remind me to ask you guys. That's my teacher trick. And even though I still feel bad sometimes, I also feel kind of good. It's sort of a mix. All I can do is keep trying and keep thinking, maybe I'm not such a bad seed after all. And the last thing I want to read is from Suzuki Hoshi, Mind Weeds. You probably, many of you have probably read this already, but he's talking about weeds, which I think also is another way to look at some of these seeds that we want to get rid of. Usually we want to like pull weeds and get rid of them. And he has an interesting thing to say about that. We say, pulling out the weeds, we give nourishment to the plant. We pull the weeds and bury them near the plant to give it nourishment. So even though you have some difficulty in your practice, even though you have some waves while you're sitting, those waves themselves will help you. So you shouldn't be bothered by your mind. You should rather be grateful for the weeds, because eventually they will enrich your practice. I think it's kind of like these seeds, like be grateful for these things that are coming up, especially when we're able to like watch them and take that backward step, because then we can really see their what's this all about, and like that, being curious about them. If you have some experience of how the weeds in your mind change into mental nourishment, your practice will make remarkable progress. You'll feel the progress. You'll feel how they change into self-nourishment. Of course, it's not so difficult to give some philosophical or psychological interpretation of our practice, but that's not enough. We must have the actual experience of how our weeds change into nourishment. So I think that's kind of like the what I wanted to say in this talk, really. It's like being able to see all these, what I've been working with in my practice, is just trying to see like all these seeds that come up. Most of the time, the ones I think are really negative and hard to see about myself, just being able to watch them arise and being a little kinder to those. And also to the extending that out to the people in my life who are annoying or who maybe I'm afraid of or try to kill me on my bike, I don't know. And just thinking about, I also thought about that cloud of rain, thinking instead of thinking of that as a dharma, maybe thinking also of that maybe as a rain of loving kindness and acceptance, where just like playing that rain down. Also in my inner ecosystem, letting that rain down inside as well. It ends like this. So, hey look, there goes the bad seed. Actually, it's not that bad anymore, since I heard that. By the way, the sequel to this book that just came out is called The Good Egg. Mm-hmm. It's about an egg which I relate to this even more, is always trying to be good all the time and starts to crack because mm-hmm. she can't control everyone and can't have everyone else be good all the time. I relate to that a lot. So thanks for listening and for indulging a picture book tonight. Any final... I think a sense of humor is like super important, yeah, like for me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was just thinking that we can label a lot of things as good or bad and lose sight of the fact that they are appearing for a reason. The things that we are calling bad maybe serve some purpose in our life or served some adaptive purpose earlier in our life, but aren't useful now.
Mm-hmm. On the topic of things which we just the weeds in our practice that we think are huge obstacles but can actually be of help. Sid was speaking about his depression and how actually
works, and I had similar situations before, a lot of just various things with mental illness, but about a month, maybe 2 months ago now, I was also diagnosed with ADHD, and I was sort of coming to grips with this, like having a diagnosis, and what does that mean? You know, there's this sort of, when you're given a diagnosis of the thing, you sort of feel broken in a way, and inevitably there's these feelings of, am I able to be a part of, you know, a community and do, you know, like, especially when it comes to something like meditating and so on, with something like ADHD, which is the deficit in executive function, this feeling of, like, can I participate in a way, like, can I get, can, am I able to be, to do something with this and not be hindered by it, and just seeing it as an enormous hindrance for myself that maybe is insurmountable. And there's this forum that I use online, which there's a Buddhism thread, and actually someone on that thread originally talked about Taigen and suggested the names of the dragons. But there was a guy on there who spoke a lot about just various things at length, and was really, really I found very insightful. And so I mentioned on there, just if anyone had a history or knew anyone that had ADHD and was also a practitioner, ask it, or to if they had anything to say. And actually, it turns out that he was diagnosed when he was young. Like, one of the people who I thought was, you know, very, very insightful, and so I just didn't even imagine that he might also be dealing with that, and was able to tell me in a very, very clear way, you know, that everything has Buddha nature, and this thing that can be seen as like an incredibly negative, hindering thing, you know, can actually be helpful to you. You know, you don't have so much control maybe over what your attention moves to, but that means that you know, having all these jarring kind of distractions can also make you more aware of the mind's tendency to jump between things, and then it's very obvious to you that it does that in ways that maybe it's not so obvious to other people. So kind of twisting the narrative, turning the narrative a little bit in a healing way, and being like, okay, you know, like, this is the reality of things, but that's okay. Be compassionate, and then maybe see this in a way that actually it's helpful, because it shows me things that you wouldn't see otherwise. And so it's been a really profound practice for me to sort of approach these things which I thought were insurmountable, negative, in a way that is healing, and see them as dharma gates. You know, like how we look at anything in our lives that we see as just insurmountably bad, or just, you know, horrible, bad seed, and then be like, okay, actually, how can this help? You know, how can I see this in a way that heals myself and beings?
Thanks for sharing that. I think that whole healing part, that word healing, is important. It's kind of like what's going on, I mean, at a smaller level in this book, but yeah, I think that's kind of what, yeah, this is about.
So is that your book?
Yeah.
You have others?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of things.
You wrote that book?
No, I didn't write this book. No, I didn't write this book. Yeah.
Children's books these days are quite different than the ones that I...
Yeah.
I know, right?
I love children's books. They're fantastic.
There's... Some of them, I mean, are... Some of them are... They're like poetry, really. Mm-hmm. And like, some of the illustrators do such a great job that I get goosebumps reading them. You know, like, it's just so powerful. And especially, I get... Especially reading into children, it's very... can just be very...
Do you recall your favorite child's book?
I really like this book, a picture book. I really like this book called Crow Boy. It's from the 70s, and so it was written by the author was Japanese, but I think he moved to New York or something. And it was about this boy who lived in like a distant, remote village and had to walk every day to school for, like, you know, many, many miles. and all the kids at the school thought he was like really lame, and would tease him. It was told from the children's point of view, not his point of view.
And so,
my mom still has it.
Oh, that's great.
And he ends up like, you know, having this special talent of, he's called Crow Boy because he can imitate, as he was walking to school all those years, he could imitate crows. And then like the last day of school, he had this one teacher who was very kind to him and helped sort of, he gave this performance of his, of these crows, and then they thought, all the people in the audience thought about how hard it was for him to get to school every single day, and he had perfect attendance and, you know, that kind of thing. It's, but it's, the way it's told is very, like, again, like, kind of poetic, and, like, the drawings are, you know, it was a very, I moved from when I was in second grade, I moved to a new city, and so this is, like, a really important book for me because I felt like an outsider, and, you know, never mastered the crow calls, but, you know. There's still time. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't master them, but...